Okay, so I've started the recording and we will go ahead and jump in to our LARC webinar call today.
Barbara, before you start, can I ask everybody if you have not changed your, make sure in the participant list in Zoom, you show your name, not the numbers or, you know, gobbledygook that's there so that we know who you are and we can call on you for questions and comments. Over.
Thanks, Katie. So today we'll ask folks not to write on the screen today. We'll try to get that off. We will have a special guest, and since Ramana is still in the field today, I think Nicholas will cover that for her. And then we'll have some baseline data shared by our LARC PMT, Ministry of Health Leadership. And then we may not have the baseline data from the lab yet. I have not seen that come through yet. So maybe that, I don't know if the lab is ready yet today or not. If not, we may defer that till next week. And then we are going to jump in and talk about the deliverables that were sent, and then we'll talk about the assignment going forward. So that's how we'll move along today. So let's jump right into our introductions. Remember, we have an SOP we're going to introduce by ordered list. And we'll ask you to start sharing your video, to simply, when your team or organization is called, you'll hit unmute, you'll state the name of all the participants at your location. And if there's, we're talking about a specific location and there may be different locations, you can just jump in and then we'll mute again after the introduction. So we'd love to see you and hear you this morning and get started. And really this is so we just provide that sense of community and engagement in the webinar space. So let's jump right into our introductions. All right, and I see some folks from BRIDH. So open up your mic and tell us who's there.
Hi everyone, it's Libert here. So I'm with Dignit's Monica and Van Dijk. Monica and Van Dijk who sign in from home. They're actually working from home. Then with the presentation, I'll be able to present something on BRIDH.
Oh, perfect. Thank you so much, Liberty. Appreciate it. I see Dignity there. Dignity, say hello.
Hello everybody. I'm Dignity. You are from BRIDH Lab.
Welcome.
Hi, Dignity.
Now, the next I have on my list is Butariro. I know that the clinic is closed, but are there any team members who are signing in from Butariro? Okay. Next, I'll go to Chitungwiza. Anyone signing in from Chitungwiza? One, two, three. Okay, next on my list is Epworth. Anyone signing in from Epworth? Okay, moving on. Hatcliffe's next on my list. Anyone signing in from Hatcliffe, please open your mic and say hello. Okay, how about Hopley? Anyone signing in from Hopley, please open your mic and say hello.
Hopley. Yes, hi everyone. I'm Memory Nyamangodo. Aidamoyo, Banire, Sister Mgate, and Carol, we are all present.
Thank you so much. Wonderful to see and hear you this morning. Fabulous. Thank you. Kwadzana is next on my list. Open your mic and say good morning.
Hello. This is Teresa Kwadzenapoli. I'm not sure if everyone else is logged in from the site.
Teresa.
Hello. Hi, Teresa.
Teresa gets virtual candy because she was the very first one that signed in the chat box this morning or this afternoon.
Yes, please. Thank you.
Coming your way. Okay, excellent. How about my friends at Mbari Polyclinic?
Hello, I'm Tendai Chigura, coach for Kwadzenapoli, working from home.
Oh, thank you so much, Tendai, for signing in.
Hi, Tendai.
Hi.
Very good. Okay. Mbari Polyclinic.
Hello, I'm Sylvia Mandija from Mbari Poly. I'm working from home.
Hi, Sylvia.
Sylvia,
how are you? Thank you.
Can we also congratulate Sylvia? She just had a baby girl.
Fabulous. Congratulations.
Yeah.
All the best to you with that. That's wonderful.
Thank you very much.
So I heard Jackie's voice. Anybody else from Mbari?
The facility is saying they're still trying to connect, but I'm sure they'll be connecting anytime during the call. Jackie, working from home. Hi, everybody.
Hi, Jackie.
Hi, Jackie.
And Jackie gets virtual candy for the great suggestion to start out with Charlie Bear, which you cannot feel sad when you hear Charlie Bear.
Yay!
Fabulous. Okay, NMRL. We have our friends from NMRL this morning or this afternoon. Okay, Overspill. If you're from Overspill, please open up your mic and say hello. Okay, how about Perry? Perry, Perinyetwa, anyone from that clinic online?
Hello, everyone. This is Fiona from Perinyetwa. Jasmine is trying to log in, and Sister Chiaka is attending to patients at the moment.
Hi, Fiona.
Fiona, wonderful to see you this morning. Oh, there you are, wonderful. Okay, PSI Lab.
Afternoon, everyone. This is Chiedza with PSI. I'm working from home. I'm not too sure who else is on the line. I know they've been trying to log in. They've been experiencing internet challenges, but I'm sure they'll be joining us shortly.
Over. Excellent. Thank you so much.
Hi, Chiedza.
Good to hear your voice and see you.
Hello, everyone.
Oh, who's that?
Yes, I am.
Okay, and this is you. Are you in the lab today or working remotely?
Looks like he's in the lab.
It does look
like. Yes, I'm in the lab.
Okay, welcome so much. Good to see you.
Thank you so much.
Okay, others from PSI Lab?
Yeah, some of them that trying to look in, lots of Colin Kamaza and Francis Jones.
Excellent.
Hi, Samuel.
All right, Sekei North, I know we have someone from Sekei North.
Hello, how are you? We are joining you from Second North. I'm Luke Moody and our nurse in charge, Mr. Chaka.
Hi, Mood.
Hello. Fabulous.
Hello. Hi, Barbara.
Very good to see you all this morning. Nice. And then St. Mary's. Anyone from St. Mary's joining us today? We visited St. Mary's. So anyone from that organization?
Hi, everyone.
Hello. Are you from St. Mary's?
Hello.
Hello. Charlotte.
Hi. Hi, Barbara. Hi, everyone. Yeah, I'm Charlotte from St. Mary's Clinic.
Excellent. Yeah. So glad to have you joining us. Anyone else there?
There's Jackie and Takuzwa. They're trying to connect. They'll be joining us soon.
Okay. Excellent. All right. And then the last on my list of our sites, Zengeza. Anyone from Zengeza?
Yes, hello, Barbara.
Hello.
Yes, how are you?
I'm very well. Who do we have this morning from Zengeza?
Zengeza, I'm Yokai.
Excellent. Okay, great to have you signing in this morning.
Hi, Yukai. So, Barbara, we also have people from Bulawayo.
Yes. We will keep moving down the list. Now we're moving to our partners, Ministry of Health. Who do we, and our organization. So who do we have today from the ministry? Now I've seen Jafet.
Jafet is on the line.
Okay. Jafet, you want to say hello? Jafet must be very tired because I was getting emails from him very late.
Past midnight, yeah.
Okay, how about the CDC? Anyone from the CDC?
Please. I know Taku is online.
Taku, you want to open your mic and say hello? Okay. USAID, anyone from USAID on the line? Dr. Ege?
No, I don't see him.
Okay. BRTI, well, we heard from Dr. Junior already. Who else from BRTI?
Hi, everyone. Fortunate. How are you?
Hi, Fortunate. I know Fortunate was up many of the hours of the night last night too. So thank you so much, Fortunate, for all you do to make this work.
Hi, Fortunate.
FHI 360? Okay. OFID? We have OFID Chitungwiza and OFID Bulawayo. Please open your mic and say hello.
Hi, it's
Fajani
from
Chitungwiza.
Hi, Fajani.
Hi, Fajani. Wonderful to see you.
Good afternoon, it's Diana from Chitungwiza.
Hi, Diana.
Diana from
Chitungwiza.
Okay.
Okay. Hi.
That.
Is that Lakani?
Hello, everyone. It's Lakani from Bulawayo.
Hi, Lakani. Welcome.
Excellent. PSI, I know we already from Chiesa. Anyone else? Anyone else from PSI? How about Zosh? Anyone else? Anyone from Zosh?
Yes. Hello, everyone. It's Tinashe here from Zosh.
Hi, Tinashe.
Hi, hi, how are you?
Very well. And then Zimtech, anyone from Zimtech who hasn't already introduced themselves as a coach?
Yes, Barbara. Hello, Katie. Hi, everyone else. This is Memory Chidemme with Zimtech.
Hi, Memory.
Memory, great to have
how are you
today.
Thank you.
All right, I've got Zvendiri.
Sorry, we are still on Zimtech. This is Nicholas, Pari Hospital Coach. I'll also be representing Romana on today's presentation. Thank you.
Hi, Nicholas.
Happy to see you since you're next on the agenda. Excellent. Okay, I didn't hear any from Zvendiri. And then last week, I know we had Adam from PSI in Bulawayo. So anyone from Bulawayo, the South, you want to open your mic and say hello?
Hi, sorry. I'm Aleta.
Hi, Aleta.
And what organization are you with?
Aleta?
Aleta is Zimtech. Oh. Zimtech, I think she's having network challenges.
Okay.
Okay. All right. Very good. Okay.
Barbara, so I see Taku.
Taku, you want to open your mic and say hello?
Hi, I'm Taku Zgo from St. Mary's Chitungwiza.
Oh, it's a different Taku. I also see a sister Manamir who has not introduced herself. Please go ahead.
Hi, I'm Sister Manamir from Chitungwiza Central Hospital.
Hi. Excellent. Thank you so much.
There are a few names here. I don't think I have heard them, like a robber, and then Paidamoyo. If you have not introduced yourself, please open the mic and say hi. And Van Dyke, I don't think you have introduced yourself.
Hello, everyone. I'm Sifas Chisaka from Second North Clinic. I'm joining you from offsite. Thank you.
Thank you. Welcome.
Hello, everyone. I'm Van Dyke from BRGH, working from home.
Hi, Van Dyke.
Excellent.
Hi, everyone. I'm Patrick Chitungwiza.
Hi, Patrick.
And you're from Chitungwiza Central Hospital?
Lab.
Oh, the lab. Okay.
Hi, everyone. This is Laura from NMRL.
Laura, wonderful to hear you.
I want to meet CPAS because you have a very cute icon there with a mask.
All right, thank you. There we go.
Oh, good. Hi, CPAS.
CPAS, where?
Hello, how are you today? I'm from Second North Clinic.
Okay.
Second North. Yeah. Welcome.
All right, thank you.
Okay. I think we'll move on. It took a little more than 10 minutes. Maybe next time we'll have to do our PDSA on timing. But but it was really great to see and hear everyone. And I hope that we've met one of our goals of helping everyone feel engaged. So include introductions at the webinar that was requested 2 weeks ago. We said, why not make it a PDSA? We use this worksheet for testing change, and I highly recommend it to you. And last week, this was our test of change. We said, could we go from 27%, which is something we'd done a month or so ago, to 80%. And we actually tested this on the 19th. Here was our plan. Here was what had to be done to accomplish the plan. And when we studied the plan, we only had 50% introduced versus predicted 80%. And so the act was, we're going to adapt. So this week we said, perhaps if we go ahead and introduce by ordered list, but we'll include a reminder. So we might call this PDSA 1B. You know, it's an adaption of our first PDSA. So this one, we said that we were going to have fortunate notified participants 2 days prior to the webinar, and that did occur. And we still predicted that we'd go this time from 50%, which was last week, to 80%. Now, I have the final count here. So this is my study. I said I could go to 80%. What actually happened? So I had 11 of the 15 sites. We're just looking at the sites, not at the partners, but 11 of 15 sites. So that puts us at, I was just doing my calculator, 73%. So when we study, we say 73% versus 80%. So we didn't quite make it. Some of the sites may not even be functioning, so we maybe need to do that a little bit. But last week, we got several suggestions of things to do. We could have the coaches do a debrief, or the coaches reach out. We could do training on how to work the audio settings, or we could send out a reminder. So that's what we chose to do as our PDSA 1B. Let's say our second round of this PDSA, we chose to do a reminder. And today, we reached 73%. I was going to also ask you about your satisfaction, but I think we're a bit short on time, so we'll probably move on from that. But if you have suggestions for additional things we can do to help get 100 or greater than 80%, you're welcome to go ahead and put some suggestions in the chat box. And we will definitely take a look at that and see if we can get to 80%. And maybe we'll also add a new metric, right? Like, how long does it take to do this? So we can be a bit more efficient. So thank you so much. So now I would love to turn the time over. And this was a suggestion we made to Ramana, like, how would you use QI in your routine work life? Ramana is not available again this week. She's out in a distant site where she does not have great internet, but I will turn the time over to Nicholas, who will be presenting her, how she's using QI in routine work life. So Nicholas, if you want to share your screen, go right ahead.
Okay, thank you, Barbara.
Thank you, Nicholas. We appreciate it.
Let me try to share the screen.
Right.
Unfortunately, participant screen sharing is disabled by the host. Probably you may share the screen for us.
Barbara, why don't you make him your co-host?
I've allowed him to share the screen. So I'm sorry, it should be working now, Nicholas. My apologies. Thank you, Nicholas. The stage is yours. I'll mute.
Yes, good afternoon, everyone. So this presentation was supposed to be presented on our last week learning session, but unfortunately, Romana was out in the field. So I'll take on the presentation. As you can see, this is just an example on how easy it is to do a QA project. So our project is going to focus on uptake of the IHI courses by Tim Epworth and Overspill. So this is the brief description of the healthcare workers at the two facilities. There is a total of 9 participants who were supposed to take the IHI courses. And 4 of the 9 were from Overspill, and 5 were from Epworth Polyclinic. 2 managed to register and complete 1 course. All healthcare workers were using personal gadgets. So the gap here, 2 out of 9 healthcare workers have started the mandatory 7 IHI courses. And our aim was to have all 9 healthcare workers register and at least complete 1 out of the 7 mandatory IHI courses by the 7th of August. So, like I said, this presentation was supposed to be done on our last learning session. I know by now the facility team members may have enrolled for more courses. Then the metric, our metric is going to be the number of healthcare workers at both Epworth and Overspill. We have registered and started the IHI courses by the 7th of August, 2020. And then the measure, our baseline measure, we're looking at number of healthcare workers who have started the IHI course. And our data source is our IHI database. The sample size, we are looking at 9 healthcare workers from the 2 facilities. Then going on to our fishbone analysis, as you can see our problem statement there, that's the 22% registration starting mandatory 7 IHI courses. So looking at the environment, we have heard of poor internet connection that the facility teams have been facing. And then materials and equipment, facility teams did not have laptops, hence some ended up using their personal gadgets such as smartphones. And then on processes, we have failure to register on the IHI courses. And then people, we have also some healthcare workers with attitudes towards the enrollment to the courses. Then the interventions, engagement was done to Jaffet and Fortunate to assist with the registration of the healthcare workers' emails on the IHI website virtually. And then going on to PDSA cycle, the first PDSA cycle, under planning, Jaffet to use TeamViewer to assist the participants to register for IHI courses. And then Doom, Jaffet called the data entry clerk for Epworth and asked him to download the TeamViewer on his computer, and assisted him to open the account on the IHI website, as well as registering for the courses. Then on study, only the tech at Epworth had access to a computer with a TeamViewer. The other participants had smartphones. Only one participant had an account opened. Then ACT, we had to abandon using the Team Viewer, Jafet to open accounts for the rest of the participants remotely, and to send the details for them to use on their smartphones. Then the next PDSA cycle, plan Jafet to open email accounts for the remaining six participants, and do Jafet opened the email accounts for the remaining six participants and registered them for the IHI courses. Then study, all the participants are now registered for IHI courses after Jafet's intervention. Then act, implement the strategy for any other participants getting locked in challenges. So that was the second PDSA cycle. The next slide is the question and answer. I'm not sure if I can now project this one, or we may need to discuss.
Thank you.
Hello.
Thank you, Nicholas. I appreciate that very much. Does anyone have questions for Nicholas? And realizing that he is sharing this presentation for Ramana, but any questions that you have? Nicholas, I had a question for you. Did those registered actually take a class? Because it seems like that was your metric, that they would be registered and take one class. Do you know that?
Okay, actually the plan was to conduct the registration through virtual learning, and the idea was for each individual now to be able to access the courses, to log into the courses on an individual basis, since most of the staff are working from home, and some we also have the issues of workload at the facilities such that they will not be able to take on the courses whilst at the workplace. Probably, maybe Jafet may chime in if he's connected.
Phone a friend, Jafet. Any information? Well, Jafet's maybe joining in. I see a comment from Liberty and Dignity, and do you all want to open your mic and flesh out your comment a little bit? You had some comment about the fishbone diagram.
Hello.
Hi, Dignity.
How are you? Okay, what you're just saying, fine. You said the 22% have registered. So I thought maybe the problem is those that haven't registered. Maybe the problem statement should be 78% healthcare workers haven't registered, not registered for the IHI courses. Then you find the reasons why they haven't registered. And I think that's the way it should be structured.
Virtual candy coming your way, Dignity. Very good pickup. Very good pickup. And we're actually going to be talking about problem statements today. So that was really good point on Dignity's case. And anyone else have any questions or comments? Anything else you noticed?
This is Katie. There is one, that was actually a surprise to me, and new learning about the root of the problem. And it was not captured in the fishbone, but it was mentioned in the PDSA cycle, is that people don't have an email account. I think we never thought of that, and that's a very important one, because that's how you register. You need to have an email account. So that's something that we need to think about going forward. Over.
Thanks, Katie. Appreciate that. What we also wanted to highlight is how you have a problem. So the problem is that people have not registered and are not taking the courses. And so it's very easy to be the manager or the leader or sit in an office somewhere and say, well, I think that we should do this and just make a decision and implement something. But I think this highlights, even when it's 9 people who haven't registered, how you can quickly use PDSA to really kind of dig down and try to understand what the issue is. Then you can target the issue instead of automatically saying, well, we just need to remind people more, you know, or something like that. So I think that there's a different, 2 different management styles, and using data to make decisions is what's grounded in the PDSA cycles and in using QI in general. And I think this was a great example of how you could do this and use it in your everyday work. And Nicholas, do you think it helped the teams to be more efficient in getting the desired result? What would you say about efficiency and use of your time in using QI?
Okay, so I think the use of the QI helped us to really look into the problems which the facility teams were facing. And as a result, we also managed to address some of the challenges as of now, and our teams, I haven't evaluated for as of now, but I'm sure quite a number of the facility teams have started taking on the courses, because the main problem, like we were saying, were the issues of them failing to log in, of which Japhet managed to open emails for the facility cadres. And some of them have started doing the courses. So I would say the QI project really helped us much in identifying the problems and the areas for opportunities for improvement.
Excellent. And answer to question number 2, by making sure that you use strategies that work and abandon the ones that don't work. And then you can, using data.
Barbara, Tina Shea has a comment in the chat box for Nicholas. Should I read it?
Yeah. Tina Shea, you want to open your mic?
Hi, everyone. I had a concern on the issue to do with the attitude problem. I don't know, maybe Nicholas may shed more light on how they managed to drive and realize that these people had attitude towards the taking the IHI courses. Because on people, I thought maybe it could be issues to do with knowledge deficit or something, other than maybe saying attitude. I thought it's a bit harsh if it has not been explored. Thank you.
Any comment
on that? Thank you so much, Tinashe, for the correct terminology there. So I think some of the, yes, we had identified it as an attitude issue, but I really feel it was issues of knowledge deficit. So with continuous support as well as motivation, and also giving examples of some who had already taken the courses, we ended up having more of our staff taking the courses. So thank you so much. I think we are going to change that to knowledge deficit.
And Tinashe, a great point, really. A lot of times what looks like, quotes, laziness, you know, say, oh, they're just lazy. A lot of times it's not that. It's this how to maneuver, how to get it done, to get signed up, to get email addresses or whatever is actually needed. So appreciate you pointing that out. Excellent. Any other questions? I am going to just say thank you to Nicholas for the presentation.
And I just have a quick comment on question, Barbara, before you end this. Okay, so I it's just both a comment and a question that the aim is very modest. You just want to get them registered and start. I'm just wondering, going forward, would you contemplate on actually revising your aims so that you actually drive at the completion of the courses, not just starting? Over.
Yeah, thank you so much. We agree with you. At this level, we should be aiming at completion of the courses. Yeah, right. Thank you.
So, excellent point. You can certainly start out with a smaller aim. You can break it down into bits. And I think it was key in this case just to quickly jump in, use QI, and understand why people are not taking the courses. And it's a registration problem. So it was at the beginning. There may be different problems going forward if they didn't complete. So that might be a next step in the process. So thank you so much, Nicholas. Really appreciate that. If I can have you stop sharing and I'll jump back in and share. Actually, I think next on the agenda is some of the presentation of our baseline data. Thank you, Nicholas. Great. I'm going to jump back in here. Just a reminder of where we are. We'll get to the baseline data here in just a quick second. So we're in AIM 3, and that is improving viral load coverage. Our overarching goal, of course, in our AIM statement, increased proportion of eligible patients with a viral load test completed. And we do have some baseline data today, and I know that's taken a lot of effort on a lot of people, and especially Jafet working into the night last night to get and back up early this morning, sending some results throughout the night. So, and then what interventions would we choose? The outcome, what we're looking for, we were looking for a completed QI project, but even more, we want really better care, better viral load coverage for our patients. And remember, we're working through the DMAIC. We've had our dates pushed a little bit, but right now we're currently working on defining, measuring, and analyzing the issue into September. In our learning session, we'll work on the improving part, and by November, we hope to have some interventions that would be in a control phase. So this is a fast forward DMAIC. And just a reminder of the outputs of each phase are important to get to the next phase. I've heard people describe it as a toll gate, right? You don't pass through define and measure until you have your problem statement honed, your process map, your aim statement. You don't pass through analyze until you have a root cause. So you have to pass a toll gate before you move to the next phase. Just a reminder, our presentations from last week led to our deliverables today, which are the problem statement, the updated process map, and baseline data. And then today we hope to get to the voice of customer root cause analysis, and that would be your deliverable for next week. I know it's a bit compressed, but we're trying to break it down into very small bites as we're moving through the schedule. So again, big reminder, next week, two deliverables available are desired. One's the voice of customer and two is the analyze tools. Some way of getting a root cause analysis. So two small ones next week. So hopefully, again, breaking them down into bite-sized pieces to help us move through the process. So define, just a reminder, if we had an hour to solve a problem, really important to get the problem right. And we'll talk about that more today as we talk about our problem statement. So deliverable baseline data. So I am going to invite Jafet, if you want to share the baseline data that you have shared with us, with the teams this morning or this afternoon.
Okay. Thank you all for taking to memory and Diana for us later. Thank you so much, guys, and to all the coaches. Let's keep up the good work. So I'm trying to share my screen. Is it okay, Barbara, if you can share the presentation from that end? I'm using my phone, my laptop.
Oh, sure. Let me.
Yes, it's 18 up. That's why I was, you know, dropping.
Yes, let me.
Okay, so as you are all.
Second, Jafet, let me close out the other PowerPoint.
If you have a hard time, I have it ready to show, Barbara. Uh-huh.
Okay, yeah, I have so it too. I
also, just...
You found it? Okay, good.
Yeah, I had it open, but when you have one PowerPoint in screen mode, then it doesn't show the other power. Okay, can everyone see this now?
Yes.
Okay, Jafet, I will be on your command.
Okay, thank you so much. So I was saying with the QI, we are involved in quality improvement in our day-to-day lives. I was not aware that I'm being, you know, monitored. Nice, but, you know, romantic. So with say I'm not involved in QI, I cannot implement QI, but it's not it's only that we are not doing it in a systematic way or we are not recording it. That's where we might think that we are not a part of the QI family. Okay, so we managed to collect or gather baseline performance for the viral load coverage. So I will start with Prarenyatwa Center of Excellence. Next slide. So for ZimTech supported sites, we managed to get 6 data points, then 4 data points, because initially we had agreed to say, let's just have 4 data points, but from ZimTech, we got more than 4. So we managed to analyze these 6 data points. That is the 4 quarters of 2019 and 2 quarters of 2020. So maybe for the benefit of those that are joining today's call for the first time or that might have missed the definition for the indicator. So for the baseline, we were not only focusing on 6 months
eligible
viral load, but we included all those that we
Jaffet.
What's going on with Jaffet?
Can you hear me, guys?
Okay.
Jaffet, you're breaking up a bit. We hear you now.
Oh, okay. I dropped off. My network is acting up today. Apologies for that. So I was just saying that for the baseline data, we are not only sitting our viral load, but all the clients that are viral load included in the baseline but I'm saying I'm looking at they said whatever is that maybe the new data might not be as yes performance for him too, but on average the
Jaffet, I think we're not hearing you very well. Suggestions as to how to proceed?
Barbara, since you have the slides, maybe you can just page it down and show everyone.
Okay.
Yeah, I didn't really pay.
We hear you from minute to minute, Jaffet, and then we lose you for a couple of minutes. So I just have to say that Jaffet finally got this data pulled together last evening and then really worked very hard to put it all into a run chart format. So very appreciative of that. And he's mentioned the coaches who've also helped him get this data collected. So just a lot of hard work went into this. And so I'll basically page through, but this work is a lot of work and really appreciate the coaches and Jaffet all coming together to make this happen.
Can Jaffet or someone else, can you please confirm or clarify what the numerator and what the denominators are? I just want to make sure that we are all on the same page. If it's hard to talk, maybe you can type that into the chat box. Thank you.
Hi, Katie. Hi, Barbara. This is Memory. So I will speak to the slide showing right now. So the numerator there is clients who had a valid viral load done in the past 12 months prior to that quarter. So for example, when you are looking at quarter one of 2019, which is January to March 2019, you are looking at clients who had a viral load done between March 2019 going backwards up to that will be April of 2018. So that is the numerator, and the denominator are the clients who are on ART. So for Harare, we make use of lab data. That is what we use to get our viral load coverage. That's why you see there we've got about 116%. We shall go back and look into this figure. Ideally, this number should never be more than 100% because you are doing viral load to your active cohort. Over.
So, Mary Marie, I have two questions. Number one, where did you pull the data? Did you look into the patient booklets, or did you just look at the total number of lab results coming back? And number two, the denominator vary a lot from QY19 to first quarter 2019 to now. It's almost like a half of the original 11,000 people on ART. And what happened?
So there was a time, again, we'll have to go back and confirm, because there was a time when the country did what we were calling the ART census. So during the ART census, the numbers of clients on ART dropped for some of the facilities. Parenyatwa is a referral site. So what we was being reported before could have been inclusive of the clients who had already been decentralized to other facilities. Mm. So again, we'll check if this is the period when the ART census was done. It's unfortunate that now when it's appearing as Q1 2019, we are not sure if this is the PEPFA calendar or the normal calendar. Unless if Jafet was online to confirm.
Okay, but, how about question number one? Yes. Where did you pull the data? Did you get that from the reviewing the green book, or did you just look at the total number of test results coming back?
For Harare, it's lab data. So we are using the total number of clients on ART for that facility, in this case, which is Parenyatwa. And the numerator is the test done, which is the result, the test which were done at the lab.
So it's a proxy data for AIM-3, right? Because AIM-3 states that we count numerator as recorded in the green book. Is that right? I just need that clarification.
Yes, these are proxy because I understand there was a consensus that for baseline, teams were not going to go back to the green books to abstract data, but we're going to use what we use for our PEPFA reporting.
Okay.
But since we use lab data for Harare, the expectation is that these results are also recorded in the green books. Because of proximity, the results are sent back as soon as they are out from the lab and they are recorded in the green books. For other provinces, the results will be in the green books. We rather we use lab data, but the expectation is that all the lab results, they are sent back to the facilities and are recorded in the green books.
So,
okay, good.
Thank you so much, Memory. Thank you, Katie. So we are, again, we wanted to not burden you all with any additional things that we could. So we are using a proxy. Now going forward, once you select a change and start making your improvements, that's what we talked about last week. You do want to look at actual data, but understanding that times are challenging, that the manpower in the clinics is not where it could be, and wanting to move forward as quickly as possible, we did say we would use this proxy data. So I will just go through quickly. Here's the data for Mbari Butariro, which I understand is currently closed. Hopefully, Kwadzana, Hatcliffe, Epworth, Overspill, Chitungwiza Central Hospital. And some of these, I see that there's a mean calculated. And so that would probably be the number you would want to use as your baseline data. You would select the mean from those numbers to be your baseline data number. Realizing there's a lot more information though in these run charts. Here is Zengeza, St. Mary's, Seke North, and that is the end of that show. So again, a tremendous amount of work has been done to pull this data, to put it in graphic format, and I cannot thank enough Javed and all those who worked with him to pull this together. Javed, thank you so much. Can you open your mic and any comments, any additional comments? Yeah, Javed is having challenges today with the internet, but a big thank you for that. Okay. So we are very rapidly running out of time. Just want to take a check here and get Katie's thoughts. Should we go ahead with data from the laboratory, or should we take a quick look at our problem statements? Because we basically have 20 minutes left.
I would vote for going for the problem statement.
Okay. Is that okay with them? I know our lab folks are online. I know they scrambled since we only had our meeting on Friday to pull that together. But can I hear from the PSI lab, NMRL, and BRIDH? Would it be okay if you sent in that data? We had a chance to look at it, and then you were able to share it next week.
Yeah, Barbara, I think it's okay from my side.
Thank you, Liberty. So I will let you know that we did have an extra meeting with the lab folks on Friday, and they have been working very hard to try to pull some data together. So this can truly be a lab clinic interface looking at VL coverage. So NMRL, PSI lab, is that okay if we move that item to next week?
Yes, it's very much okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Chietta. And Lucia and Nora say, yes, sure, our coach has spoken. Okay, very good. So I will jump back in. I knew we had a very tight timeline today. So let me just share my screen here. I have to get out of this PowerPoint. And get into the next PowerPoint. Okay, so what we would like to move ahead and do is share some of the deliverables. And as they were coming in yesterday and even in through the night last night, I appreciate you all working on this. Know the timeline was short. And we were trying to break it down into some bite-sized pieces, knowing that you really all had done your process mapping before. Just having you to update it. So thank you so much for working hard, for Fortunate working hard to get those in. Let's focus on the problem statement in the last few minutes we have, and we want to do something really fun today. So here are the problem statements that I received as of when last evening. So let's just talk about what a problem statement is very quickly. Super simple, it's something that is going wrong. And I was so pleased that Dignity and his team pointed out that the thing at the mouth of the fishbone is a problem statement. So you don't want to say what's going well, you want to say what the problem is. So it's an undesirable gap. So we have a level of performance that we want in the future, but here's where we are now. So it's a gap. It tells us what this gap is. It's a statement about an area of concern, a condition to be improved, or a difficulty to be eliminated. So there's key elements of a problem statement, and I would like you to use this to judge some problem statements that I'm going to give you coming up very, very soon. So it's a simple statement of what needs fixing. So you don't have to do anything big or elaborate, just a simple statement of what needs fixing. Here's a key. You don't want any possible causes or solutions in the problem statement. Just facts, ma'am, right? Just the problem. And you want it to be short. We have a tool 15 words or less, meaning that we'd like to keep it very succinct. And you can include the metrics. Typically, for us, we've included the metrics in the aim statement, so you don't have to include the metrics, but you could include them if you wanted to, but it wouldn't be a requirement. So from that, I'm going to remind you of those four key elements, and I'm going to go to our polling. So I'm going to launch a poll. I'm going to ask you to look at four problem statements. Okay. I'm going to launch the poll. I'm going to have you look at four problem statements, and I'm going to ask you to select the best one. None of them are perfect, but select the best problem statement based on these four factors that I have shared with you. So I'm going to stop talking. I'm going to give you a solid minute to read, and then go ahead and vote on what you think is the best problem statement. So I've got 51%. I want to give a little bit more time. Now it takes a little longer when you have to read all those statements. All right, I'm right at 65%. Another few seconds. Like to get 75% of you at least voting. All right, I'm at 76%. Okay, we're at 3 minutes, so I'm going to go ahead and end the poll. Okay, so the 44% of people voted for selection two, low viral load sample collection of clients due for viral load due to missed appointments. Let's start with number one. 19% of you voted for this one. Can someone quickly type into the chat box why they chose this one or did not choose this one? Selection one. If you chose selection one, which says due to COVID-19 pandemic risk reduction measures, fewer patients are attending clinic for VL sample collection, and it has a negative impact on patient management and VL coverage. Is there a reason that you selected that one? More than 15 words. Okay, Samuel said more than 15 words. That is for sure. Any other reason that you might or might not select that one? Cause of the problem were included in the problem statement. Thank you, Liberty. So Samuel and Liberty have weighed in. Tanashi says possible causes and solutions. Okay? Beautiful. So we're going to reject problem. We're going to reject problem statement number one. Let's look at problem statement number three. Why would you not choose problem statement number three? Less flow of clients due to current lockdown. So number three, quickly, only one person voted for that. And I think the biggest problem with number three is that it doesn't include any mention of the problem, which is viral load coverage, right? So you need those keywords in there if that is your problem. Too vague, no elements. Okay, agree. And then statement number four. What kind of problems did we have with statement number four? I think 34% of you voted for statement number four. So it's very close between statement number two and statement number four. Okay, so I'm not hearing any comments on that one. So I will tell you actually that number four was my favorite choice because we're talking about VL monitoring and the consequences of inadequate ART monitoring. But the most people selected statement number two. Ngeza Clinic says they chose problem number one using the five whys. So appreciate using the five whys. Love that. That is definitely what you need to do in the next step. But the problem statement and the five whys don't feed into the problem statement. The problem statement is just a simple statement of the problem. So the five whys are great to understand the root cause. So good point there. So we've got another comment here. Statement four describes the problem and the metrics to give guidance. So you can certainly include metrics, and this one sort of highlights that, it's kind of a big problem, like half of the patients. So Cephas says number four has metrics in it, making it a good statement. You can certainly add metrics. We also have them in our AIM statement, but you can put it in here. The reason that I would not have chosen statement number two is why? What would be the fault of statement number two? Anything you notice in statement number two?
Because the causes are there.
The causes are there. Do we know that it is missed appointments? It may be, but it may not be. Number two already states the causes. Yes. Number two, that's liberty. Tanashi, number two has a possible reason for the cause, which could be wrong. Exactly. So I do like the way this it starts out, but then it gives a cause of missed appointments. And when we don't know that for sure, because we haven't really dug down, we haven't done our root cause analysis yet in this process that we're walking through. So for those reasons, I'm going to say great work, team. But I think we're going to choose number four. And what we're going to do, we're going to do something very exciting. So hold your breath. We've got very short time. We may use a couple of extra minutes here. We'd like to just try the Zoom rooms today. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to copy AIM statement number four. We're going to send you to a Zoom room, and we're going to ask you to do these following. So we're going to ask you to think about the nature of the actual problem. Make sure that the actual problem is in the statement. And this is, of course, for AIM number three, viral load coverage. Identify keywords that have to be included, right? You need to have the problem in there. If they're unclear words, identify or clarify them. Remove unneeded language because you want it short and sweet. And then work together to create one statement, the one problem statement, and then type that, type your group number and your problem statement into the chat box. So Lucia and Nora are heading out. Thanks guys for letting us know. Okay, so we're going to do this brave new thing of put you in breakout rooms. So what you'll simply do is look on your screen and it will say, go to a breakout room. You go there and it'll tell you, come back, and you come back. This is a small test of change. If you get lost, you can, of course, sign back into the main meeting. If you do not end up in a breakout room, we'll sort that out. But we're wanting to try this new thing so we can actually work in smaller groups and not have 44 of us in the same room. So here we are going to go to start your breakout room.
Before you do that, I just want to make sure, because it's not very clear what they are supposed to do. So your job is, once you get into your breakout room, is to refine that number four statement, and Barbara is going to copy and paste that statement into the chat box. So when you go into your breakout room, you can look at the chat box and discuss within your group to get a better statement. Barbara, could you also spell out PS? What is that?
Problem statement, sorry.
Oh.
So type your group number and your problem statement. So here's what's going to happen. Something's going to appear on your screen and it's going to say, go to a breakout room. You follow those guidance. You'll be in the breakout room for 5 minutes, and there'll just be five or six of you in there. And then you're going to come back and we'll debrief.
And remember your breakout room number. When you see that, make a note so that when you type, when your group type into the chat box of your refined problem statement, you need to include that breakout room number. Over.
So you'll be able to open, you'll be able to see the chat box in there. So I will type that statement into the chat box so you can work on it. Statement number four. Okay. So small test of change. We don't expect it to work perfectly, but we want to test it today. Thank you for giving us a few extra minutes. Here you go, breakout rooms. You have 5 minutes.
So Barbara, I'm sent to breakout room 4, so I'm going to join them. How many breakout rooms did you have?
I just did 6.
Okay.
So I need to get this statement copied in there. So I can broadcast a message to all I see, so that's good. Okay, let me get the statement copied.
Barbara, we don't have the statement in the chat box.
It's in my chat box, so I'm not sure. I don't know. I see it. It's from me to everyone. Let me try broadcast a message to all.
Yeah, that probably will be better.
Okay. That doesn't.
How come you still have people in the main room?
I have 8 people in the main room. So when I hit broadcast, so I don't know, it's in my chat box. It's right under Barbara, Katie, and team. Kindly excuse Nora and I.
So also for your information, I can only join breakout room 4. I cannot go to other rooms. Okay, so I'm going back to
co-host. I'm not.
But sure. But I cannot. I don't have a way to go to other rooms.
So I am jumping into breakout room 3 because there was a request for help. Who requested help? We did not have a facilitator. So I'm in breakout room 3, but I'm not hearing anyone. Hello?
Hi, Barbara. I'm also in group 3. It's
okay.
Yes, right. And I was the one who sent in a message to say, don't we need to have a facilitator? I thought I was talking to my members.
Oh, okay. Well, no. So because we're just testing this, to assign facilitators, you really need to know who's going to be on the call. And you have to assign each room individually. So I did the random assignment this time. So just anyone in the room can ascribe your final statement.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Thanks much. I'm going to head to another room. Thank you.
Lost.
Okay, I'm joining breakout room two. What, Hey, Katie. So in room number two here, I've pasted the statement in. Hello? Sonia, breakout room six, you requested help.
Hello, we can't hear each other at all.
You can't hear each other. Well, that's why we're doing just a small test of change. I will have to work on that and see what if we need to do something differently. So I appreciate that. Maybe can you type in the chat box to each other?
Okay.
Just try typing in the chat box. I pasted the statement into your chat box. I can hear you. You can hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
But you can't hear each other.
No.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm so sorry. Again, we wanted to test this before we got to the learning session to see how it works. So thank you for letting us know about the bug.
Okay.
Hey, I'm jumping into room one. How is everything going here? Are you all able to hear each other?
Who is it?
Can you hear each other within the breakout room?
No, I can't hear anyone.
You can't hear anyone.
Yes. Maybe it's lost.
I can hear you, but you can't hear the other people. Okay, well, we'll close the rooms and bring everyone back. Sorry about that.
So Barbara, I think you need to type in that before you send them into room so everyone can see it, not after you send them into the room.
Okay, I did, I put it in, but I don't, I mean, can you see it, that it's there?
No, I cannot, but I can see earlier, all the earlier chats, but not the one, not the statement.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Because I typed the statement 8:29, I typed the statement in, so you don't see that at all.
I think at 8:29, we're already in the room because from that room, I typed, Barbara, where is the statement at 8:29? Mm-hmm.
So I did see that there was a way to broadcast to all.
We saw the broadcast, but it's like very short. Then it disappeared, replaced by the statement saying we have 1 minute left.
Oh, so it wouldn't stay.
It would disappear, like, yeah. Mm-hmm. But from right now in the chat box, I can see our group four statement. Did you see our group four statement?
I didn't know.
In the chat box.
I just kept, it's me copying it to everyone. So, is everybody back now from the rooms?
Yes.
Okay.
Let me see. 32 people.
Group four is back.
Yes, group four is back.
So, from what I, two different groups told me that once they got in the room, they could not hear anyone else in the room.
Well, because they, when they got that, their mics are automatically muted. They need to, actually, I had to unmute all my people in breakout room four. They need to unmute themselves.
Okay. Okay, so that's a lesson learned.
But also, there were people left in the main room. Did you see those? You know, like Andelovu and a few other people.
Yeah, I don't know. You know, I used the random assignment. So guys, welcome back. We'll just quickly debrief. I understand some people could not hear the other people, so you basically have to unmute yourself to hear. I had a request for a facilitator, so it's a bit complicated, but to assign a specific facilitator, I have to know exactly who's going to be here at the meeting, and then we have to manually assign people. So this is the random assignment for Zoom, and we would have just had one person to be the scribe to take the problem statement.
Monica raised her hand. Monica, do you have a question?
Any other feedback from the room?
I had a network problem, so I was out.
Okay, network problem. Thank you.
Mm. Okay. Well, I appreciate you all trying that. Again, we want to be able to do it for our learning session for a more extended period of time. So we thought we would do a small test today and see if you would be able to work there in a group. So let me take a quick question, and I want you all to just type into the chat box. If we could have about 15 more minutes, we could get the assignment out for this week. Are you all able to take another 15 minutes? Just if so, type into the chat box. If not, type into the chat box and we will try to accommodate. Again, we had a lot to do today, and so some people, Fortunate says yes. Dr. Maswinga, Chetza. Okay, so let's roll quickly. So thanks for testing that. If you all just want to type into the chat box any experiences you had in the Zoom room that you think would be helpful for us to know, we would appreciate that because we really do think it could be a fun thing that we could do and we could get in a smaller group and work together. So thanks for testing it. Appreciate it. You guys did a great job, and we'll learn, right? That's what testing and learning is all about. So that was what we were to do. Process mapping very quickly. I was able to see several of your process maps and have a super quick poll for you here on process maps. So I think the assignment will still be to maybe refine that problem statement based on what we've learned. But in the process mapping, got a quick poll for you here now. Which of the following process mapping guidelines is not helpful? Which one is not helpful? So three of these are helpful, one of them is not. Can you vote for the one that's not? Okay, so given that we do not have a lot of time, I'm going to, in the poll, 40% of you have voted, and here are the results. And yes, I do agree with 57% of you. This is not a helpful guideline, okay? Not a helpful guideline. Don't look for any opportunities for improvement when mapping a process. That is a key thing to do, is look for opportunities for improvement when mapping a process. That's a perfect time to see those opportunities for improvement. So what should you do once you've completed the table? Go and see the actual process. That's when you learn so much about, oh, here's what I thought was happening, but here's what's actually happening. This second one is really important. If multiple persons are accountable for the items in a step, break the step down into additional steps. And you say, why does it matter? Because once you really break the process down into smaller steps, you see who's responsible. Perhaps you can move those process steps around. Perhaps you can combine some of them by looking at who does what. Perhaps you can reassign. So it's a really good help in thinking about what is and is not efficient. So I want to really encourage you to do that. And then the last one, have all cotters who touch the process as part of the process mapping. The experts, the people who do the work are the experts. So again, it is important to look for opportunities for improvement when doing a process. So thanks so much for that. And what I will say about your process mapping is, and I just picked one example, a lot of detail in there, so I do appreciate that. The opportunities that I see in this particular process map, the opportunities See, this one has two different people responsible. So there's a perfect opportunity to break that apart into multiple separate steps and really understand who's doing what, when, and where. So there's a couple of other opportunities here where we had two or three different people doing the steps. So really important to break it down into smaller pieces. Here's another one when we had the biker and the lab person, so we could have combined all those. And then here's another opportunity, and this is when you put on those improvement glasses. It says, if results are not available and client was bled within the last 4 months, then the client is rebled. So maybe that's what you have to do when the client's there, but think bigger. Think, why are the results not available? What might you do in this lab clinic interface collaborative to make sure that every test counts? So I encourage you, as you go back and look at these, break them down into smaller steps, one person per step. So if you have two people identified in a step, you know automatically you need to break that step down. And then look for those opportunities of where you know, the process is not working smoothly or efficiently. So appreciate all the process maps, encourage you, and appreciate all the details. We got some great details in this one. Just break down that table a little bit more and be thinking with your improvement classes. Okay, deliverables for next time. Zoom, we have 10 minutes. Voice of customer. That is your assignment for next time. So I've got a poll for you. Ready to rock and roll. We're going to ask about voice of customer. So this is going to be very important in thinking about what you're going to do within the next few days to get a voice of customer, all right? So given the low viral load coverage, what is most important to find out from your voice of customer? There are things that are nice to know, but what is important to know? You're going to really, since you have a short time, you're going to really need to zoom in and focus on what you need to know. What is most important to know? All right, so in the interest of time, 67% of you have voted, and this was a unanimous. Everyone voted for client's greatest barrier to obtaining viral load samples. So yes, we'd like some demographic data, and ultimately staff friendliness might be part of the problem, you know? We don't know, but really getting to the heart of the matter, finding out what are the client's greatest barriers to obtaining viral load samples. Now, honestly, samples and results. Some of those may be in your control, some of them may be out of your control, but you don't know until you ask the client. Just like today in the PDSA that Nicholas shared, until we actually understood what the voice of the customer was saying, you know, we're not able to do a focused improvement. So this is definitely the heart of the matter. What is the greatest barrier for clients to getting that viral load done? So that's what you'll want to find out in your voice of customer. And then we have another poll for you, also related to voice of customer. Again, given that you have a short time, what method do you think might be most efficient to reach out to clients this week? Just a reminder that these are more clinic-focused polling questions. It'll be different customers and different focus for our lab partners. All right, so in the interest of time, we'll end that poll and we'll share results. And the great majority of you said a phone call. And being distanced and having your clients at a distance, that is probably going to be your most efficient way of getting the information that you really want to get. This information is gold. It's going to help guide the rest of the project. So I agree with you. Some folks said clinic administered questionnaire. Certainly if you're in the clinic and patients are coming to the clinic, you would get that sector of patients who are coming to the clinic, but you might not get the sector of those who are not coming, and you might not get a full enough picture. But if whatever works for you in your setting, I encourage you to go ahead and do this week over the next few days. Okay, and just to move on super quickly. So measure, we appreciate the data we had. We now understand the magnitude of the problem, and that's also very important to drive our improvement. And then the analyze. So fishbone diagram, just a reminder, which Dignity reminded us very well today, that problem statement needs to go at the head of the fish. You can use the fishbone diagram. Look in your workbook. There are other tools. The five whys, which someone already mentioned in the chat box today, and virtual candy to them for using the five whys to understand the problem. Definitely what you learn from your voice of customer, we need to see reflected in this analyze tool. You're using whatever tool you want, but we'd like you to get to the bottom of the problem. What do you think are the key factors that are influencing the fact that your viral load coverage is not where you want it to be?
So Barbara, let me just weigh in quickly. So your voice of customer will help you with your root cause analysis.
For sure.
That's the linkage there. They are related. Over.
Exactly. Whatever your clients tell you, that goes on your fishbone, and you may want to dig down more into that. So anything that you learned in your process mapping and opportunities that you learned, those feed in to your root cause analysis. Anything that you heard from your customers feed into your root cause analysis. And let's see, nothing else in the chat box there. So those are the assignments. That is just super fast, but two assignments for this week. Plus, we'd love to see refining of the problem statement and additional separation out of that process table. So those will be assignments, but this week we have two assignments. The voice of the customer, and we really talked about what is most efficient to do. We know you have a very short time, so we're not asking you to reach out to 100 people. You know, pick five, pick some reasonable number that you can contact, and get going on understanding that even better. And then the other assignment is the root cause analysis. You'll need to do that after you've done the voice of the customer. Time is not on our side, as Jafet's mentioned many times. So you'll want to, you know, jump into the voice of the customer today, tomorrow, Friday, and then you'll want to work on that root cause analysis. I understand there are challenges when you're not in the same place, being able to work together, and appreciate that, and appreciate, you know, your best efforts, and would love to have something by Monday night so we can digest it a little bit better and share it with you on Wednesday next week.
And a plea to the coaches, please help and work with the facility people to help them get to these deliverables and the review, help them develop and review and give feedback to refine their deliverables before submission. Thank you.
Yes, it's a learning process, constantly a learning process. Our goal today has been to make this improvement meeting one of the best moments of the week, to make it fun and exciting, to try to break this process down into small, easy bites. And we've definitely appreciated having some of your coaches, Nicholas, share some information. So we'd love to learn how you felt about that today. Appreciate you taking the extra time. Appreciate you testing the Zoom rooms. We'll get better at that, and we'll continue to learn together. So any closing words from our sponsors?
Oh, okay. Thank you very much. I wish we could add a few more minutes because it has been an exciting webinar, and it was really quite interesting and quite interactive. Lots of new things to learn. I really liked the Zoom breakup. I was very attentive because it's quite an area that could make our life very easy with this virtual learning. I noticed one thing. When we started, after we did the introductions, we had about 49 people, participants. But the participants now, they've gone down. I think even after the Zoom breakdown, they were now about 33, and I was just wondering why. And I have no way of checking why. Because, yeah. So there's that perhaps we might need to look at.
I worry. Liberty and Dignity say we got lost in the Zoom rooms. When I close the rooms, though, you shouldn't be able to stay in them, right? But I do worry about that. So I'm going to end the poll. As always, we're learning. We're appreciative of your suggestions, Dignity. There, you're in that virtual room, right? You're not even back.
The other thing I just wanted. The other thing I just wanted to point out was I really liked the presentation by Zintek. You remember last week we were talking about our activities, and we said one is to do with our M3, and the other one was to look if we can also get maybe an idea of how we are doing with capacity building. So the uptake of IHI was quite interesting for us, and perhaps we should actually continue to see how best we can actually follow that through. There was a suggestion from BRTI at one of the high-level meetings that perhaps we should also look not just at facilities, but also at individuals, if at all it can encourage other individuals. Whenever we are analyzing the data, we also maybe share such that it can motivate others at individual level to participate. I don't know how that can be perceived or how we can go around that. Otherwise, thank you so much, Katie and Barbara, for such an interactive session. Thank you, and all those who managed to be around until now, thank you for your commitment. Thank you.
Well, thank you so much,
Dr.
And
Junior.
I am going to reach out to other coaches and have you do some presentations, because I think those are super important. So thanks for highlighting that, Dr. Mpanga. And if you share with us the challenges you had with the Zoom rooms, we'll work on figuring that out this week and do more small tests of change. Remember, it's not marriage, it's a small test, it's dating. So we can see what we like and learn. So have a great rest of your day. Thank you.
Make sure you save the chat so you have a record.
Yes, I just wanted to say this was a very interesting session. And I just wanted to say on the participants, you might see that maybe we had 40-something participants, but some teams were logging in maybe 3 or 4 in one facility. So you find that the total number I had for people logged in today was 57, And when I include our participants, our consultants, we had 59 people, although we lost some people along the way because of poor network. But I would like to say thank you very much to everyone who joined in. It was very good and very good attendance, an increase from last week.
Thank yes, you so much. Wonderful. Oh, yes.
Maybe let's have a round of applause to Fortunate for the coordination.
Yes, so let's unmute your mic and let's give a round of applause.
And Dignity's got virtual applause going.
We want the real one.
Just wonderful work, guys.
Hello.
Thank you so much. Hello.
How are you, Babla?
I'm fabulous. How are you?
Hi.
Hi.
Thanks, guys. Really great session today.
Bye-bye.
Let's meet again time. Next week, Wednesday. People, don't forget. I'll send you the link. Next week, Wednesday, same time. Thank you, Barbara and Katie.
Thank you, Fortunate. Thank you, everybody.
For all
bye. Your time. I hope next week you won't get lost in the Zoom rooms.
Yes, and I also hope people will have better network next week. Today,
Bye.
All right, I'm going to stop recording.